Well, we entreat the Lord to talk to us a little bit this morning. I was thinking about some of His Word concerning the marriage relationship, and probably quite a bit different than you might be thinking I'm going to talk this morning. But thinking about the bride, thinking about the groom, in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, we find the Lord giving a pattern to you and me for our marriage. And we find Him giving a mystery. And that is the relationship of Christ to His church. And so I want to just look at a little bit of this morning, starting at Ephesians 5 and 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." You know, I just want us to gather that this morning first. I don't know if you realize how much the Lord loves you. We had a little message, whatever, here a few weeks ago about the intensity of God's love. The Lord has done His part. He loves the bride. And we want to look and see who is the bride then. You know, there's a spiritual aspect and there's a physical aspect of this. And there's a marriage that is physical. And then there's the marriage that is spiritual. I want to look at some of these things this morning and read from here. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." You know, I want us to remember, husbands, this morning, that intensity that we are hopefully getting a glimpse into of how much God loves us and loves His people and loves His bride. He says for us to love our wives like that. And so there's some double meanings here in some of these things. And He says, "Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." You know, this morning the Lord is coming back for a bride doesn't have a spot or a wrinkle on her. And, you know, that's maybe a little staggering to our minds when we think of that. And we think, no spots, no wrinkles. You know, this morning, I don't believe the Lord's coming back to expect a people to have no human flaw, no need for growth or anything like that. But He is coming back for people that has on white raiment, unspotted by sin, unspotted by that kind of rebellion against God and against His ways, or the allowing of the enemy to get into our life in such a way that it stains our garment. And so He's coming back for a chaste wife that has been faithful to Him. He's coming back for one, and there'll be a marriage then. And right now we're espoused to the Lord. And we're supposed to be keeping ourselves in a state of readiness for Him. And so He says here that there's kind of a triple metaphor here, really. But He says here that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You know, it is the Lord's ability, it is His care for us that causes us to be able to do this, isn't it? Do you know, this morning, I just want to throw this in as we kind of get started here. Husbands, we want our wives to respond to us, to be We want them to be beautiful in our eyes. This word here, glorious, has some real implication in there of beauty and of splendor. and that kind of thing. You know, that's because of the treatment that the Lord gives us. That's because of His work with us that we shine as His people. He wants us to shine as His people. Not in the kind of shining that brings men's praise, but the kind of shining that brings praise to God and makes people to know there is a God in heaven that is at work today among men. And so we find here, he says, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. You know what he's saying there? You nourish and cherish yourself just like the Lord does the church. If you hurt, you grab it. If you're in trouble, you help it. You nourish it. You cherish it. You work with it every which way you can to relieve it. That's what we do for ourselves, isn't it? And so he says here, men ought to love their wives like that too. So as we're looking at this whole picture, let's get a little of this picture that the Lord says, I want you to love your wives that way too. What a challenge it is for us, because we live in an imperfect world where everybody isn't fully matured yet and everybody isn't fully grown up yet. And there's a lot of things, and we get married and we're on a journey, and we're way more selfish than we ever thought we were. And the Lord has to start working with us and start humbling us and start producing that image that He wants to produce in our life. And so we find him here, and he tells us to love our wives like we love ourselves. And then he says, no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Even people that do things destructive are trying to relieve pain most of the time. Things like, nobody ever hated their own self, the Bible says, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You know, this morning he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The Lord set the ideal for us. He set the pattern for you and me. And he said, it's a great mystery, but I'm telling you this about marriage, but I'm really speaking about Christ and the church, and I want you to get this too. Love your wife even as himself. And so I want to go from there and think about a little bit about the bride this morning, because the Lord has given himself for us. He has given himself for us with an intensity of love that we never expect, we never deserved. We didn't do anything for it. He just loved us like that. He fell in love with us and he loved us. And you know what, this morning, a lot of times we don't love him back like that. And people don't recognize, you know what, there's another side to this thing. Does the Lord love me? I'll tell you, if he didn't do anything else but just die for me, that would tell me he loved me right there. He's done a lot more than that for you and I. But you know, this morning, that work that he has done, I want to talk to us a little bit today by the help of the Lord, and I appreciate prayer, that the Lord would help us in our lives, that we be a bride that is prepared and ready when he returns. We look over in 2 Corinthians 11 and 1. He says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Do you know this morning that we are espoused to one husband, and that is to the Lord? We're not espoused. That espousal is very, very much like an engagement today. And so we are waiting for the time when Christ comes back, when all is consummated, and there we find we go to be with him forever. And he's told us, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Maybe we'll read that in a little bit. So the Lord is preparing for us, and he is making preparations for you and I to go there. And so this morning, as we look at this, Paul wrote to these here, and they seemed like they were kind of wavering. The Corinthian church just had some issues, didn't it? But Paul said, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. I'm not jealous that you can't speak to anybody, but I'm jealous because your hearts have kind of departed some things. There's some things that I'm jealous over you. You know, the Lord is coming back for a chaste virgin that is ready, prepared, and waiting for him when he returns. And so we want to look a little farther at Revelation 19 and 7. And it says here, let us be glad and rejoice. And give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Do you know this morning there's a lot of different ways that the Lord has presented his church and this marriage. But this is one of them, as a bride ready for her husband coming, ready for the groom, the bridegroom. And so it says here, his wife hath made herself ready this morning. And I want to look another place here at Matthew 25 and 1 and read this little story we're all so familiar with here of the virgins and the bridegroom coming. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 25 and 1, be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now, a number of places through the New Testament and even some in the Old is very clear about this kind of thing happening, that the Lord likens his relationship to his people to that of a bridegroom and a bride. Okay, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Our light's gone out. Our lamp is gone out. Our oil is all used up and we don't have any more. And they were yet virgins. They had not gone out and defiled themselves. And so the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So this morning, I want to challenge us to keep ourselves ready. You know, it's not enough for us to just keep from doing evil, keep from sinning as such, as we think of it, and keep from doing things we shouldn't do, going places we should, acting in ways we shouldn't act. It's not enough to do that. The Lord's coming back, and He's looking for a bride that's prepared and ready and waiting to meet Him. He's coming back for those that have a flame in their life, oil in their vessel, and a light to the world. He's coming back for that this morning. And He's made it real clear to us that He's doing that. And so I just want to challenge us this morning. The intensity of God's love is there. And He loves us. But let's don't forget Him. Let's don't forget that He said, I want you to be prepared and I want you to be ready. And I know it's going to be some sleepy times, but don't let the oil go out of your lamp. Don't let, just because all the things that were happening at the beginning of the gospel and during the Reformation and times like that, all that the Lord was doing, maybe it's not on that level today. There's a lot of darkness in the world today that's not responding to the light. But you know what? We want to keep ourselves, don't we? Keep ourselves in the love of God. Keep ourselves waiting for the Lord. Keep ourselves where our relationship with the Lord is alive, and that we seek Him and we love Him and we seek to do His will, and we keep ourselves pure and clean from the world and from worldly spirits of religion and all of those things. You know, all of those things are important this morning, that we might be ready when He comes back, ready to meet Him. In 1 John 3 and 1, the Lord loves us as a relationship, like an espousal, like in a time of engagement. And you know what? It can be this way in our life. And we want to recognize, I don't want to pick up a cold form of religion and hope to meet the Lord and Him just shower all His love over me. And I don't really know Him. I don't really know Him. I don't know Him. I mean, I've been trying to be good. But you know what? The Lord wants, I just want to not put condemnation out this morning, but to draw us to the love that Christ has for us today. Put something into our relationship with the Lord. Make sure we've got oil in there. Make sure our light is burning. Keep your prayer life up. And keep your time, your devotions to the Lord. Keep our time that we have seeking the Lord. Lord, I want to be in the center of Your will. Because, see, we are coming to a time, and at any time, the Lord may call us in. At any time may be that time. And He said, you be ready. He gave this illustration to us of some that weren't ready and some that were this morning. And so the Lord help us to allow His work in our life. I want to look at 1 John 3 and 1 to 3. It says, Behold, look at this. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. You know, this morning we've got some work to do, don't we? Every man, it says, that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself. Now, how do we do that? And what do? We just follow the Lord closely. Read His Word. Let it prick our hearts. And let the grace of God move us into those places. And allow the Lord to work in our lives. I believe the Lord's coming back for a bride that's pretty anxious to see Him too. Just like He is to see us. this morning. And it's that kind of relationships. I want to look at 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. As we're reading here again in the Corinthian letter, it seemed like they got a lot of good admonition from Paul. He says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" And let me ask you this, what does it mean to be yoked and unequally yoked? You know, there's relationships that we have in the world that are fine, but there's a yoking up that we don't want to get in such a close way that we're in lockstep with them and we're yoked together. And we have to move together in those ways. Listen to this. What concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. All these different kinds of illustrations, metaphors that the Lord has used to explain his ways to us. And he says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Well, ye are the temple of the living God. And we truly are, aren't we? As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, I get something from this, where the apostle tells these ones, he said, don't have an agreement with idolatry. Don't have an agreement with things that are not of God. Don't have an agreement with the world. Because those that love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Because you can't love two different ones, can you? You can't love like that. You're going to love one and you're going to treat the other at a distance. Because if they're at opposites, you're not going to be able to love them both. And so he says, come out from among them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord. And you know, I say this morning, I really believe there's more to this than maybe we might think on the surface. I know that Paul wasn't writing about marriage here, but I believe that the Lord would have us to marry in the faith. I believe he would have us to marry those that truly know the Lord. I believe that he would have us in our lives to be careful that we don't get so closely yoked with other peoples and other religions. And I want to mention this morning because, folks, we're a spouse to Christ, to one husband and not to several. And the Lord has made himself a body, and he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he didn't say, I'm going to build my churches. He said, I'm going to build my church. That's where the congregation of my people are. Upon this rock, upon my love, upon my sayings, upon my truths, upon the truths the apostles set forth. And we find that in Ephesians 2, where it talks about that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And I just want to encourage us today, because all around us is a world of religion. And I want to tell you, everything that doesn't have the Spirit of the Lord and the truth working in it has something else working. Where did it come from then? And so we have to be careful where we go and what we do and the mix that we have. It's one thing to fellowship somebody It's another thing to fellowship their organization. It's one thing to know that the Lord, you can see Him working in their life, and we trust the Lord will bring more truth and the Spirit of God indwell them and begin to work and move in their lives. But it's quite another to begin to tinker and begin to go to their brand and their organizations. I'll tell you what happens. Pretty soon, we don't have a clue what's right and what's wrong, because there's a good argument to everything. Have you ever, even in the ideas that we take for granted almost, of being an American and understanding the way our system works and the beauty of it and the reason it has brought prosperity, you know, somebody will come up and start telling you about communism? And it sounds pretty good too, doesn't it? It just don't work. There's something grievously wrong. Well, I'm not trying to be political. I didn't even think of that before this. But folks, I want to tell you something. These spirits, they have arguments too, in a religious sense. Every one of them. I urge all of us today to follow the Lord closely and to be careful about where we go, what we listen to. Pretty soon we'll be on our way and we'll be thinking this is just fine, or we'll be thinking, well, everything's fine. Well, the Lord's church is in every church. Well, folks, He built a church, and Paul wrote to it in several places and called it the church of God even. Do you know, this morning, I don't slam people and throw them down and all of that. God help each one to have truth revealed to their hearts, to understand what it means to be the bride of Christ, to keep ourselves clean from the world. Do you know that on almost all of those organizations, not every one of them, but almost all of them, they will readily admit we're all just sinners, more or less. All the time. Folks, the Lord said He's coming back for a bride that's clean, that's pure, that's without spot, that's holy. That's what He's coming back for. Now, we're not talking about that people have no faults. I know some of you all have faults, and you know I have faults. And you know what? I'm working on mine. I hope you're working on yours. But folks, we better not have rebellion in our heart toward the ways of God. We better not have sin in our heart. But I will tell you, when you go out to those places, pretty soon nothing matters. Pretty soon you see the visible things that you see pretty early on is you see things start changing and the way somebody looks and presents themselves. Do you know that we are Christ's church? That we're His bride? That everything about Him is holy, and He's coming back for a holy people, a people that are chaste, that are modest and becoming of the Lord, that their very way they present themselves and dress and everything depicts holiness. Do you know that takes discernment from the Lord, doesn't it? I want to encourage us this morning. When I go some of those places from time to time, and whatever kind of places that we find ourselves in once in a while, I'll tell you what, I come back usually with this unbelievable, overwhelming thanksgiving to the Lord. Oh, Lord, thank You. Thank You for truth. Thank You for the truth. Thank You for the words of life. Thank You for the Spirit of God. And you know what I find? I find everywhere you go, you will find a part of the truth. Every one of them, you'll find a piece of the truth somewhere, probably. Almost all of them. And I think of that almost like a car. You find a car door over here. It's a beautiful picture of a car door. I remember somebody telling me one time about their church and all they were reaching out and they were doing all these good things. And I don't have a problem with that. That's wonderful. I hope that we in our lives have that in our heart too, to reach out, to do good to everyone. But it was their religion and that was what they had. But I fear that from the picture I was getting, I fear the salvation, the true message of sanctification and the Spirit of God working wasn't there. And so I think, they had a really nice car door. But where is the rest of it? Where is the enabling, empowering Spirit of the Lord in their midst, revealing truth and cutting loose from the world? Do you know this morning, we have something precious, and I hope we count it so this morning. The Lord help us. I want to read what Clark says here about this passage in 2 Corinthians 6. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This is a military term. Keep in your own ranks. Do not leave the Christian community to join in that of the heathens. The verb signifies to leave one's own rank, place, or order and go into another. And here it must signify not only that they should not associate with the Gentiles in their idolatrous feast, but that they should not apostatize from Christianity. And the questions which follow show that there was a sort of fellowship that some of the Christians had formed with the heathens, which was both wicked and absurd, and if not speedily checked, would infallibly lead to final apostasy. Do you know this morning, you don't start where you end. And I have watched many times people on that road that begins to play with another spirit, that begins to reach out to those kind of things. And before you know it, you're just shocked. And they probably are too. But you know, this morning, let's let the Lord, let's let Him work in our life. Learn to love Him. Learn to love holiness. Learn to love those people that God has put us among. Do you know what? It's easy when people get married to start picking at one another. It's real easy. That's why there's such a huge, high rate of divorce today. What happens? What happens? Because they get in close quarters and they find out their people, and you know what? But God, in spite of all that, gave us the very real example through His love for us, how it can be in marriage and wants it to be. And the Lord can give us those happy things that marriage gives. But we have to work at it, don't we? I would encourage us today to not look at every human fault of the church, everything we wish was different, everything we don't understand, but rather to embrace the body of Christ, to become one, to love, to be truly separate from the spirits of the world, to not imbibe in the spirits of the world, not in our ways, not in where we go, not in what we listen to. The music that people listen to many times, folks, is shocking. And the Lord wants us to have all things that glorify Him, that when He comes back, He finds a pure, holy, chaste virgin waiting for Him, prepared and ready at that moment. The things people allow into their homes and look at and do and carry on, and the places we go. Folks, let's remember, there's one that intensely loves us, and He wants that to grow in us too, until that intensity lies in here for Him. Until we are, what do You want me to do, Lord? Oh, I would love to do that. You know what? There's something God wants to do in our heart and life, and He wants us to follow that. And I urge us this morning, I know that there are many spirits gone out into the world. Let's espouse ourselves to Christ alone. Is there people out there that are saved? Oh, certainly there is. Certainly there is. But let's don't get that confused. And let's don't yoke up in such a way that it becomes a snare unto us today. Revelation 21 and 9. I want to look here a little more. I want us to realize that God and the Lord is very excited about this thing. I believe that. We find in Revelation 29 and 21 and 9 to 11, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And he said, come, I want to show you the glory of this thing. Folks, let's let the Lord put his light in us until we are not a vacuum and a sponge from the spirits that are all around us, but rather we go out there and have a light that is brilliant, that shines, that attracts, that people can see there is a place, there is a way. I will tell you, 2 Corinthians 7 tells us what a carefulness that repentance brought in us. What a carefulness it wrought in you. Oh, what revenge. Oh, what desire. Revenge against the very spirit of the enemy. No way. You know what? What desire that it wrought in our heart. Oh, does our heart burn for the things of the Lord this morning? Let it burn. Let it burn. The Galatians, they found this treasure. And then pretty soon they go along and Paul wrote to him. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? We find there that they started out well for the Lord. And before long, the works of the law came into their life. I want to tell you, how did that happen? How could you move from this to a vain form of religion? How could you move from being filled with the Spirit of God? I'll tell you how it happens: by being yoked and by allowing the spirits of the world and of the religious world. No, we don't need to know everything. We don't need to know everything. Folks, we need to search those things out. I agree with that. We need to ask the hard questions. We need to look at the realities. But let's be careful about letting our spirit melt into the spirit of the world. And pretty soon, we don't understand what it, Church of God. Oh, that's that sect over there. Oh, yeah, we're a church. Yeah, we're one of the denominations. No, we're not. We're the bride of Christ, folks. And the Lord help us this morning that we be ready, prepared, that people don't say they're the bride of Christ. I don't think so. We don't want people to say that about us, do we? So let's be that. Let's let the Spirit of the Lord heat within our breast, within our life, until we can hardly wait ourselves for that thing that the Lord has prepared for them. Come in here. You come see my bride here. You see this? He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem. Well, it's just a few people. Folks, I want to tell you something. If you're looking at numbers, this isn't the place. But I believe that we have truth that can make you get to heaven this morning. And so, the Lord help us ourselves, that we ourselves will be in that place ourselves. Just a couple of other places here. Isaiah 62 and 4. The Lord is looking at us, folks, with He is waiting. I believe that he is actually anticipating that day. The Lord that I believe I know, folks, I believe he is anxiously anticipating, pretty soon I'm going to bring my bride home. In Isaiah 62 and 4 and 5. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. All this morning, that word Hephzibah means my delight is in her. The word Beulah, part of that definition means married. You know, the Lord delights in us this morning. I believe He wants us to delight in Him as well today. I want to read John 14 and 1. Listen to what the Lord said while He was still with us here. Just about ready to go back. And He leaves a few words, and this is some of them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Do you know this morning, the Lord said in words that He wanted us to understand the magnitude of it. In My Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. You're not going to be disappointed this morning. Oh, can we keep ourselves for the Lord? Can we let the love of Christ constrain us to give ourselves, to live the life of holiness, to live instead of questioning and living in that place forever and ever? I know there's times we question things. I don't think that's bad. But I want to tell you, and I don't mind anybody asking any question about what we believe. I don't mind that a bit. But I will tell you this. I believe the Lord wants us to get on with life, to love Him, to serve Him, to keep ourselves for Him, to be ready for Him at any time, and to keep ourselves in holiness and in purity, something you don't find very much in the world around us. The Lord help us each one to make heaven our home and to let the Lord burn in our hearts today. It can be that way. We give ourselves to Him. There's a relationship that begins to happen. It's so different than the agnostic that sits back and says, but I don't understand this. I don't know about that. And never gets ready. Never makes that connection. I'm ready. I want to know Him. I may not understand everything, but I want to do the things I do understand. I want to be fully given. And I want my life to be ready. So when the Lord comes back, He says, come, you want to see My bride? I'm bringing them home here. I think that's going to be a worthy thing. I don't think our minds can take that in right now. But one day, if we're faithful, folks, we'll find that place. Amen.